I was involved in the establishment of the group. I was encouraging discussion on the dilemma that Aboriginal artists from living in urban areas face in like finding a place in the Australian art world and indeed the art world. Because we're Aboriginal, you know, we well, we're classified, you know, as sort of Aboriginal artists. They often don't make Aboriginal art. The construct that is Aboriginal art, you know, what most people understand to be Aboriginal art, you know, is actually the art of the Western Desert. So, and that's seen as authentic Aboriginal art, dot painting, and so is bark painting. But what we do is not seen as being authentic Aboriginal art, and indeed we are not seen as authentic Aboriginal people. So that was a dilemma for us to break out of that. You know, our work has been classified as urban Aboriginal art. Well, you know, I just don't make Aboriginal art. I make contemporary art. And for us to break away from the classification that's been imposed upon us, we couldn't do that individually. So, you know, look, we knew that we could do so as a group. Together, you know, we could just assert that we don't make a particular type of artwork, or we actually make a particular type of artwork. Mm-hmm. So, and we then become the experts on it, and we are the only experts on this. So there's no books to be made by white people, you know, proclaiming to be, you know, the expert on proper noun. That we will choose when and who to confer that title onto. There was a bit of a dilemma in naming the organisation, you know, because there are so many different languages and so many different protocols involved with using language. You know, like we'd have had to get permission and this sort of thing. And basically, what we wanted things to be done properly. How blackfellas say, proper way. And after I said that, you know, like, Vernon said, now. So we just said, oh, well, there's the name right there, proper now. When I came back to Australia from New York in February, I looked around and we'd all put on weight, so I thought we would be more appropriately named Fatter Now. I am the worst drawer in proper now, there's no doubt about that. And I was, you know, I was in a quandary as to what to actually do for the show. In fact, I didn't know what I was going to do for the show until after I got here. I was just having discussions, you know, with the other guys, and, you know, Gordy, he's a cheeky little fucker. He said, "Belly, why don't you do one of your me works?" And I said, "Oh, well, yeah, that'll probably work. Yeah, they're just fairly simple." And then somebody else suggested doing it on the wall, you know, and then it just grew from that. You know, and I thought, "Oh, well," I started mucking around with some pencils and that, you know, drawing directly on the wall. Didn't work. And then Laurie suggested we use crayons, and then ended up going down getting some crayons. But I thought, oh, on the way down to the thing, I said, look, let's get some blackboard paint and we'll just paint the walls and then use this crayon over top of the blackboard paints. And there's, I've done a piece down there that I call Mimi Dreaming, M-E-M-E, Dreaming. And in brackets after that, with a little help from my friends. So I've gotten the other members to write me as often as they like in different colours on the thing. So it's a really colourful work. So that's probably, well, that's my contribution to this drawing show. I did this as a painting, like back in the early noughties, Emily Inouye had died, I think, a year or two before, and I got back into looking at art, I started going around to art galleries and that again, and I just heard the constant refrain was all these dealers and that lamenting having sold Emily so cheaply and this sort of thing. And that was it was terrible. I just felt just disgusted because I was thinking, well, hold on a minute. This woman's died. She's left the community, and there's a huge hole in their earnings now, and their access to money. Emily earned a lot of money, in the last few years of her life. So and that dried up and disappeared from that community. So they would have had to adjust, rapidly, I thought that was. I felt sorry for those people, rather than being like the dealers who were feeling sorry for themselves that they hadn't made more money out of this artist. So I started doing a set of works that I called body works that I called my Desperately Seeking Emily series. So These ones here, it's like these are a bit of a tribute to her painting style, like me, sort of, and that sort of, and the look gets, there's a bit of an Emily look to the paintings. I'm saying, well, they're not Emily's, they're mine. See, they're me. So. And plus, the Mimi dreaming. Well, that's the Mimi spirit. In the works of the Owen Pally artists, from Arnhem Land. So it's a take on that. When people say, "Oh, it looks like Aboriginal," I say, "No, that's not Aboriginal. That's contemporary. That's me. That's me just painting all these things." So it's a bit of it's a bit of fun. They're whimsical works, but there's this underlying seriousness with these things. And how they're still desperately seeking Emily. They're out there, trawling the communities looking for an old woman that they can promote as being the next Emily. It's appalling. Just leave the woman be. And look at, how about letting these artists do what they want to do? This show is touring, and they said, well, how are we going to tour this? I said, look, just paint the fucking walls with blackboard paint, get the kids to come in here and just draw me over the fucker. I've had the other artists in proper now all contribute to this work, because they contributed to the idea. They helped me arrive at the position, of drawing on the wall of the gallery. You know, like it wasn't my idea. You know, it came out of discussions that we were having. Most of the ideas in my work, you know, like, have to do with the political situation for Aboriginal people in this country, and almost always commentary on those issues, or dealing with the symbolism surrounding those issues. I'm really interested in the symbolic nature of events and that occur, you know, and government policies and those sorts of things, because they're very powerful. And if people don't believe that symbolism makes much of a difference, all they have to do is look at the Howard Prime Ministership. You know, like, he took us back 50 years in a very short space of time. And he did that by just tinkering with the symbolism. You know, like, I'm interested in not just having a facelift, but replacing the whole symbolism for this country. The symbolism that exists in this country serves to anchor Aboriginal people at the bottom of the socio-political, economic structure. You know, the First Fleet came in, they positioned themselves directly above the Aboriginal people. The Second Fleet came in, you know, they bumped up the First Fleet, you know, and they positioned themselves directly over top of the Aboriginal people. Then the 9th and 10th and 12th or whatever fleet, they came in there, and we're just getting further and further and further down the pecking order. You know, we get, you know, to the 20th century, and we've got the Italians and the Greeks, and, you know, and then the late 20th century, we've got the Vietnamese and Iraqis and Sudanese and that, you know, and they're all slotting in directly above us, you know, and they're moving, they're able to move up the ladder, and we're not, we're anchored to the bottom, and how that's done is through the symbolism and the iconography, the stories, the myths and legends, you know. They're all constructed to disempower Aboriginal people. An installation that I made in 1992, a wardrobe that I painted the inside of, and I wrote all this stuff about it. Basically, it was a closet, you know, for closet blackfellas to get out of, you know, like, and for some of the, you know, the blackfellas who was out of the closet to get back in the fucking closet and shut the fuck up. So, and that piece actually got me into the Sydney Biennale in 1992. Yeah, so, and that piece, that installation, it was part of an installation that had photographs. And I set up this little embassy, you know, like, little office of the embassy, the Aboriginal embassy. So had, you know, I wrote up some documents. That was very early in my career. Everybody around me, including white people, including strangers, you know, actually influenced my work, you know, in some way. You know, it's a response, you know, it's a contemporary response to what's happening, you know, in our lives, you know, now, proper now.